This is Focus with Jessica Strutt on ABC Radio Perth.
Hello there. Great to be with you. Hey, the past few months have brought into sharp focus, I think, the important jobs many people do in our community. And maybe the idea of what you once thought was a critical and important job has changed. Just have a think about that. I mean, I think we've all come to really, really appreciate the tough job done by supermarket assistants. Is that one of them? And they're not the only ones. In the past few months, there's been a renewed appreciation for many roles, but particularly the incredible work of the people in our health system and those in our schools. And all around the world, we've been united by shows of support for hospital staff. There's been some pretty raw footage of men and women who've turned up day after day on the front line at hospitals to save lives. Well, on Focus today, we're going to look at those two roles, nursing and teaching, that have had a well-deserved boost in reputation and what that means for the future of these fields.
This is Focus on ABC Radio Perth.
So have those experiences of the past few weeks and months given you a greater appreciation of any professions or roles? Doesn't have to be a professional, like a white-collar worker, of course. Any professionals or roles in our community? Which ones? Well, nursing can be a pretty thankless role, but the pressure COVID-19 has put on our healthcare system and the networks, particularly around the world, has highlighted the incredible work of hardworking health staff. We've seen exhausted nurses with faces worn by protective masks pleading with the public to do their bit to slow the spread. Nurses from the US to the UK have shared the confronting scenes they've worked in. Let's take a listen.
I don't know what has happened for the past 13 hours. Honestly, guys, it felt like I was working in a war zone. Basically, I just spent the last 13 hours, like, treating two critically ill COVID patients on the vent, basically by myself. And this is my new normal for the next however many months that it takes for this virus to die down.
It feels like a losing battle, but it's not, because we've all got hope and we're all trying to do what we can. And we're all sticking together, and we are, although I'm a bit of a mess, I'm very positive in work, and I'm saying to the guys, you should be so proud of yourselves, because you are coming in, and we've never done this before, we've never been in this situation before, and we are just turning up, and we are just doing what we can.
Turning up and doing what we can, and that was a lot, wasn't it? In Australia, we're hopefully through the worst of it, I suppose, but the hospitals haven't seen the scenes play out like in the US and the UK or Italy. But it has still been incredibly challenging for our nurses and doctors. And nurses around the world have shown their resilience, and with that, they've garnered support. Communities around the world have made public shows of appreciation by clapping. And that's all fine. But what does this renewed appreciation for nursing mean for the future of the role? Dr. Steve Hardman is a senior lecturer with the School of Nursing and Midwifery at the University of Notre Dame here in Fremantle, and he's going to talk it through with us. Good morning, Steve.
Morning, Jess. Thanks for having me on.
Pleasure. Now, nurses have become, well, I don't like the term heroes, but really that there's no other term, of the health systems, and their reputations are glowing even more than usual. Will there be a surge, do you think, in interest from students and wanting to study this at university?
Well, I think most nurses, first of all, don't really regard themselves as heroes. Obviously, you know, we're in tough times. Pandemic around the world has been, you know, huge in other countries. And in Australia, touch wood, we've been doing okay so far. But most nurses would just see themselves as getting on, doing the job and doing the best for the patient, because that's the main focus. I do think, yes, you're right, there is a definite focus on nursing and healthcare professionals in general. I would suspect that in the next few weeks and months, we will see an increased interest in nursing. We generally do very well with the undergraduate nursing courses in Australia. We have a lot of interest, a lot of younger people as well as older people come in to train as a nurse. So it's always a popular option. But I think we will see definitely more an increased interest in those professions now coming in through nursing.
What did your uni do, and perhaps it is still doing, to adapt to its nursing course during COVID-19?
Yeah, so for Notre Dame, we've done quite a lot of things, really. We were quite quick to move to an online format so that we could adhere to the social distancing and the other recommendations from the government. So we've delivered most of it, in fact, pretty much all of our nursing course online for the last month or two. So that's been going pretty well. But obviously, in the background as well, and I still work as a practitioner in an intensive care unit, there's a big focus on trying to upskill staff and offer more courses, particularly during the pandemic, so that we can provide that or try and help with the need for further knowledge and skills. So in terms of short courses now, the Notre Dame nursing course, we've put in a lot more webinars and things that people can get into in terms of dealing with acutely unwell patients, recognising clinical deterioration. We're doing stuff around respiratory assessment, oxygenation, basic ventilation strategies. And we've given away a lot of these courses for free just to try and help staff upskill, because obviously we were all expecting this big surge. So there's been a number of things. And the government's helped out massively in terms of they've injected cash now. So we've got a lot of higher education funding that's been pumped in so that we can offer more courses that are massively subsidised. So we can upskill the nurses that we've got in postgraduate terms, but also if there are people who want to transition and move into nursing, or you know, want a career change because of the COVID issues, then there's more stuff available now and a lot cheaper price for the public as well. So that's been great.
Dr. Steve Hardman is my guest. He's a senior lecturer at the School of Nursing and Midwifery at Notre Dame University. We're talking about the impact and future, I suppose, of nursing with him, given what we've just been through with the pandemic. And I've been asking you this morning of the other professions. I mean, we're going to talk nursing and teachers today because I think they're fairly obvious ones and obviously were very frontline during this time. But I would love to hear from you about the other roles within our community. It doesn't have to be professions, white-collar professions. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about any role, perhaps even the ones that you ordinarily didn't have appreciation for. Which ones have you learnt to appreciate more during these times? 1-300-222-720. You can text 0437-922-720. This person in Glen Forest, Kim, says, don't forget the wonderful role and job the truckies do, keeping supplies moving around the state and the country, especially given the grounding of planes. Spot on, Kim. That's exactly the kind of role that I'm talking about. For me, it was the farmers. Walking into those shops and suddenly seeing empty shelves made me suddenly think a lot more about the where this food comes from. So, Steve, do you think that we need a backup workforce to call on when we have these worldwide emergencies? I mean, how well did we cope in terms of our nursing staff?
Look, I think in Australia we've done pretty well because we've kind of dodged the bullet in terms of the big surges that we've seen in other countries. So, you know, definitely from looking through the literature and what's going on in other countries and just watching the news reports, you know, it's very easy for these pandemics to overwhelm the most, you know, sophisticated healthcare systems. So in Australia, we've bought some time. We have, I think, now got quite a few people who've recently retired to look at re-registering so that we've got a bolstered workforce. We've attracted a few people that have got nursing qualifications, for example, but have been doing other careers back into the nursing profession over the last few months. So, You know, I think there is definitely a need to have some kind of register, some kind of system in place, so that if we ever do see further pandemics, or even with this one, if it does surge at some point, we've got an extra, you know, resource to pull. Because the healthcare system as it stands, it's resourced, but, you know, it's finite. There's not a lot of slack in the system. So when we do need to redeploy people from different areas, particularly to go and help with the acutely ill or the critical care areas, that does leave a gap. So, yeah, I think we need to plan to have some kind of reserve.
And you were talking about some of the extra skills and changes that might be made for nursing. Is there particularly ones that you think will change going forward that were really obviously missing from the general courses across the board for nurses when this pandemic hit?
Yeah, I don't think there was anything particularly missing as such, but I think there'll be a renewed focus on some of the areas. You know, particularly the awareness around public health, that's going to be a key feature, I think, now, so that people, you know, there will be more professional nurses that will go into that kind of field. Infection control has been a big big focus in the health system, being able to control infection, use the PPE properly, etc. But from my perspective, obviously, I'm biased because I'm a critical care nurse. I'd like to see, you know, we could include more stuff around, particularly being able to assess unwell, critically ill patients. There's a systematic format that's really useful when you're under the pump of how you can go about initially assessing and managing somebody that's becoming, you know, unwell. So more focus on that for me would be a real key thing. Training up more people to do with acute illness management, and particularly, obviously, there's been a big focus on ventilation with the pandemic. So, you know, we have a lot of very, very highly skilled trained nurses that work in the intensive care units, but it does take a long time to train staff to be able to work these different ventilators and different bits of technical equipment that they use. So maybe some contingency where we can be slowly upskilling people over months and years now, so that if we do ever get a surge, then we've got this backup where they are much more highly skilled and we can bring them through.
Roz has called in. She's got a shout out to a profession. Morning, Roz.
Morning, Jess. How are you?
Well, thanks.
So I'm English.
I can hear that. Just a little bit.
Okay. So my father's in a care home over in England, literally in one of the London suburbs. And one of the residents there had to go into hospital 3 times a week for dialysis treatment. And about 6 or 7 weeks ago, he came back and he'd caught COVID-19 while he was in hospital and brought it back to the care home. And no one knew that.
It's no good.
He actually had to go back into hospital and he passed away from the virus.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, and obviously he passed on the virus to other residents there, and they had no tests available. So Maureen Lewis, who's the manageress there, and did an amazing job, as did all the other care home workers. They became nurses overnight. They became security overnight. They managed to get masks, PPE straight away. They acted on it so quickly. They isolated everybody into their rooms, all the residents, and for each resident, the care home workers would change the whole PPE to go and see them.
It's amazing, isn't it? So a shout out really from you to the aged care workers.
Yeah, exactly.
They've had to do a lot of different roles, yeah.
Exactly. And can I just say that we have got off so lightly here, in WA specifically. I think 9 people have passed away, which is awful. But if you consider that in my dad's care home, 6 residents passed away.
Yeah, it's terribly sad.
It just gives you some perspective on how easily we've got off due to our government acting so quickly. And I think Mark McGowan has done a brilliant job in shutting down our borders, and I really hope that Fremantle doesn't
cause a problem. There's a bit of a big issue developing there, isn't there, with that ship. Thanks, Roz. So Roz, a shout out to the aged care workers. Steve, someone has texted in to say they want to do a shout out, I suppose, for the emergency department doctors. My partner is one, says Nick in Shenton Park, worked to a frazzle, said to me that she would probably get it, but she accepted the risk as part of her profession. I mean, which is very noble, Nick in Shenton Park says on the text line. I mean, Steve Hardman, is part of the profession of nursing, isn't it, that you go in? I think it brought into really sharp focus perhaps for your students about the inherent risks involved in this?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, people are putting their lives on the line, literally going into the hospitals, particularly in the countries that have been really badly affected. But, you know, that's what nurses are trained to do. And they and other health, and I've got to give a shout out as well to other health professionals, you know, the physios, the OTs, the dietitians, all the other people that are also in the hospitals and working hard to try and, you know, fix people that are sick. There's a lot of people collaborating in these teams, as well as nurses and doctors, so that, you know, we're all at risk. And but it's something we accept. And, you know, we are trained, we're well trained, we are educated, we know what we're doing. There is a risk. But even stepping into an ED at night, you know, and I've worked in ED a few times, you know, you're at risk from different things, you know, from, you know, violence and aggression.
Yeah, so that's a big problem.
There's always risk in these professions, but certainly it's brought into sharp focus with the pandemic. But as I say, you know, the health professionals, the nurses are really dedicated people. And at the end of the day, they just want to do the best and help others.
Well, Dr. Steve Hardman, we appreciate your time. He is a senior lecturer with the School of Nursing at the University of Notre Dame, Australia. And keep your texts coming. I want to know today, and call me, I'd like to know from you, are there certain roles within the community that you've got a greater appreciation for through these past few weeks? A couple of you agreeing, supermarket workers, a very essential service. This person says they were front line with the potential to succumb to the virus due to their broad contact with the community. I'm sure many were afraid to turn up at work each day, says Janice. I agree, Janice. And certainly they saw some pretty terrible behaviour as well, didn't they? So maybe that made the job even tougher. Up next, we're going to be looking at teaching.
This is Focus with Jessica Strutt on ABC Radio Perth.
Well, if you've got kids, chances are the recent experience of homeschooling gave you an even greater appreciation of the work teachers do in our community. So we wondered, what might the pandemic mean going forward for our teachers and those learning to be teachers in the future? And to discuss this, I've got another Stephen with me, but this is Professor Stephen Wynn, Executive Dean of the School of Education at Edith Cowan University. Morning, Stephen. What did we learn from the experience about the skills teachers need?
Morning, Jess, and thank you for the opportunity. What have we learned about the... I think we've learned that, in fact, what we're actually preparing our teachers for is a dynamic environment. And with that, also around the sorts of things that we are required to ensure that our pre-service teachers, they're the ones who are in training to be teachers, actually meet those skills. And I think it's been very positive what we've actually seen in regard to the roles that they can actually play in assisting schools at this time.
Do you think unis need to put more emphasis on online teaching in preparation for the next, heaven forbid, the next pandemic?
Well, we actually, just like your previous speaker from nursing, talked about how Notre Dame has gone online at Edith Cowan University, and like a number of other universities across the country, we are delivering that online. And I think in many ways, what your listeners probably also experienced in their homeschooling when they were taking on that role is that, in fact, it sounds good in theory about doing things via the internet, but what they've actually found are those issues around the reliability of the connection, the stability of the connection, and when you're actually doing those calls and using video as well, how sometimes you would have seen the freeze of the image.
Yes.
And the voice not actually matching what you're actually seeing. And I guess in many ways it's the difference between those who deliver that in online, that is places like universities, which are very well connected to the internet. But when you're actually reaching out to the community, and when we're talking about Western Australia, you're talking about regional, rural and remote areas where that internet connectivity is not the same as what you'd expect, say, in the main street of Perth.
And how likely is it, I just asked in relation to nurses, but how likely is it that we'll see a surge in interest from future students who might be inspired to teach? Or do you think it might work the other way? There was quite a lot of fear amongst many teachers, and I can completely understand why. But do you think it may be more alluring or less alluring as a profession?
Oh, I think it's more. And I think one of the really positives about this, that I hope that your listeners would probably confirm, is understanding that a teacher has to come with a whole range of sets of skills, including what they've actually gained if they're a school leaver coming in to a university, or their mature age and bringing their life skills as well. But understanding that you're actually, if you're a carer, a parent at home, and you've had your one child, two, or three or four, that the teacher's actually got 25 of these, and understanding about how they need to, and that's part of the training that we do and the development of those pre-service teachers, to be able to differentiate the curriculum for those at different levels, different abilities, and also different backgrounds, to be able to ensure that all children are successful at learning. And they're the skills that they develop by actually not only the theory that they undertake at the various universities, but also the practice they have by being in schools. And one of the really good aspects about this was the collegial and collaborative approach by the all the deans of education in WA with the Department of Education and Catholic Education and Independent Schools representatives, of having pre-service teachers being viewed as an asset to assist teachers in a number of areas like online delivery, because most of those students would have actually undertaken online delivery, assisting with students and how students learn, also working with diverse groups and smaller groups as such. And I think they've been the real positives that we've seen. And some of the secondary and primary schools we've worked with have been very welcoming to having those that support, which is, again, when you're looking at it, it's like the nurses that you were talking about.
Yes.
These are people who are skilled and being skilled in these areas, and different from those who are volunteers who may have an interest in or a general, you know, concern about the education of young people.
Stephen, do you think prac, you talked about prac, and it is an essential part of teaching and nursing, but do you think prac going forward will change much given what we've just been through for teachers?
Oh, I think so. I think what we'll see in the way in which the professional experience is undertaken, there will be those requirements meeting the what every university has an education program has, which is the teacher performance assessment. But what I think you'll also see in schools is coming to understand that you can have pre-service teachers be connected to schools and actually assist and work with students and teach them as well, under supervision of a registered teacher, but they could be small groups, they could be students who are gifted and talented, getting extension work, as well as those who have a range of, difficulties with core curriculum areas. And I'm really impressed by what I've actually seen in that change in attitude about the way in which pre-service teachers, the next generation of teachers who will be teaching the children of Western Australia and Australia for the future, are being embraced in schools. And that's really positive to see.
Great. Professor Stephen Wynn, thanks very much for your time. He's the Executive Dean at the School of Education at Edith Cowan University.
This is Focus with Jessica Strutt on ABC Radio Perth.